This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Can this connect to like an iPad? Is there proper?
If you have the iPad connection, yeah.
Yeah, okay. We just need an adapter for it, then.
Yeah, the iPad adapter. Right. They have iPad adapter for PC.
All right, okay. We just gonna have to do that, man. Because these joints just run so slow.
Right.
Whereas the... Because there's a lot of other stuff bogging it down.
Okay.
You streaming? I did? I told you, hold tight.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد إن شاء الله تعالى we're going to get right into class because of the delay. I want you to look at the screen right now and tell me what you see. Sorry? Tart. You gotta have to move out. Your head is in the way. Okay. Bismillah. I just want you to take 10 seconds or so. Look at this picture. And I want you to tell me what you see here going on. So just think about it for a minute. And then you can tell me, inshallah. Somebody, first person to raise their hand, you get called on. Sorry? You see a taxi driver? You sure? Okay, a Muslim taxi driver. Yeah, what do you see? A Muslim taxi driver. That's it? That's all? Yeah.
He looks like
he's irritated.
Like he's stuck in traffic.
Like he might be stuck in traffic. Yeah.
Bad mood.
He's in a bad mood. Okay? You're reading faces there. Yes.
A yellow taxi cab.
And yeah.
He's practicing sabr.
Okay. So let me ask you. Do you like him? Okay, you don't know him, so you're not. How could you? You said it's your brother. How do you know it's just not somebody that's wearing a kufi to look like a Muslim to maybe get you to feel like comfortable, drop your guard, and then he attacks you? That's a thought. Okay. That's for those who think worst of the people, right? Tayyib. Okay. So the idea is this. Just the other day, I had a friend come in from out of town. I couldn't meet him at the train station. So I called a friend of mine. He was a taxi. And he went and picked him up. Frank came to me and he says, that brother you sent to pick me up, I love him. He doesn't now, mind you, how long has he known him? 20 minutes maybe, something like this. He said, I love that brother. All right, now, this is interesting. Why did he say he loved him? He said in the 20 minutes that I spent with this brother, he told me that he's recently divorced and that he lives with his parents. That his father is bedridden. And that he draws closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by changing his father's diaper. Yani that he, subhanAllah, he seeks Allah's pleasure. That he actually enjoys the process because he feels like he's getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the majority of the day, his mother is taking care of his father. And so at the end of the day, when his mother is really tired, he tells her to sit down, she puts her feet up, and he rubs her feet until she falls asleep. All right? Brother's 42 years old. He said, and then he started reciting Quran to me, Surah Rahman. And he said his recitation was so beautiful. He said, I just love this brother. Now, he could have been just like him. As a matter of fact, he looks kind of like him, the brother I sent to pick him up. Right? But what is it that made him love this person? His character, his characteristics, his demeanor, his qualities, his, right? His attributes. So there were things about him that made him love him, right? The same way a similar situation can happen and you just hate somebody because of the negative qualities that they have. Mm-hmm. All right, so What are we talking about here? We're talking about knowledge of things. This is what helps us form an opinion of those things, right? And so when we look at what we're going to study, which is the importance of knowing Allah's names, because what are we studying here? What are we studying? Oh, wow. Okay, that's good. Let's put a pin in that one. The 99 names of Allah. All right, anybody else? The names and attributes of Allah. Okay? Knowing how to know Allah. All right, we're studying the names of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right? Not the 99 names of Allah. We'll get to that in a minute, inshallah. But we're studying the names of Allah. And the reason why it is so important for us to know the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is because each of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names indicates a quality, an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least one, and perhaps more. All right? And so by knowing His names, we know more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, you can know the names of many people, that doesn't mean you know anything about them. Their name, in fact, could be quite contrary to who they are. So you may meet somebody named Abdullah and he's not even a Muslim. That happens. Right? He's not doing anything in terms of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but his name is Abdullah. You may, anyway, I mean, you get the point. So the idea is that the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are different. You're not going to get in a taxi with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not going to have a personal relationship in the sense that like you would learn about an individual. How do we know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We know about Him through His names, through His attributes, that which He has revealed to us in His book. And so by studying those names, by learning more about them, we learn more about the one who created us. And the one who created us is perfect. His names are perfect, and His attributes are perfect. And that perfection is what draws us to love Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by knowing more about Him, we will also hope in Him. We will put our trust in Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will fear Him. You know, subhanAllah, just excuse me because of the late start, we're going to have to move through certain things. but I really want you to internalize this point. You think about here, oftentimes in the house, you might find centipedes. Have you ever seen centipedes in the house? Okay. What do you call them? Thousand-leggers, millipedes, I guess then, right? All right. Whatever they might be. What do? Sorry? They get on your nerves. Okay. Do they have any benefit to them? They eat other insects. So spiders, roaches, other things, they actually eat them, right? So for a person that doesn't know, like Sheikh Hanif, where's Sheikh Hanif? From California, they don't have the thousand leg thing. So what happens is a person might you'll kill it, even though it actually might be beneficial to kind of have them around at certain times. You know, they get on your nerves, but maybe that's better than the alternative, right? And so what happens is when a person is not aware of the benefit, then they're going to destroy it. They're going to kill it. Now, let's take it a little step further. What if we said hypothetically that these thousand leggers are poisonous? All right. So they have a benefit to them, but they're also poisonous. And you wanna kill it. How would you kill it? You would step on it. Would you kill it with your hand?
No.
Why wouldn't you kill it with your hand? Because it's poisonous. Right. So you're gonna try to kill it a certain way because you're a little bit scared. You're scared of what it could do to you. Now, what if somebody said, not only is it poisonous, but it has the ability to jump 6 feet? Huh? Are you going to try to step on it?
No.
No. What might you do?
Run.
Okay, that's a good idea. Yes, okay. So you're probably going to get some kind of bug spray, maybe something that gives you a good at least 10-foot range, right? So you don't have to get closer, that close to it. So, I mean, the idea is the more you know about the danger, the scarier you become, the more caution you take. And likewise, when you know certain names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what that indicates and some of his attributes, then you will be cautious to be disobedient. The same way that when you know other attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how much you may have sinned, no matter how far you've gone, you won't give up hope. And so knowing these names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very important in our worship of Him. They translate into worship. So very quickly, we'll just go through this. Number one, what is the purpose of creation? Yes.
For Allah to worship.
Whoa, run that again. He did like the man who said, "Oh Allah, you are my slave and I'm your Lord." All right, run it back. Right. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to worship Him, Jalla Jalal. Can you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowing Him? No, it's impossible. And so the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says towards the end of Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I have not created man and jinn except to worship me. He says at the end of Surah Al-Talaq, اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُنَّ يَتَنَزَّلُ الْأَمْرُ بَيْنَهُنَّ لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He is the one who has created the seven heavens and from the earth its like, and that the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَتَنَزَّلُ الْأَمْرُ بَيْنَهُنَّ, comes down between them. For what purpose? What purpose? لِتَعْلَمُوا, so that you know that Allah is able to do all things and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge has encompassed all things. And so the idea is that to properly worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to know Him. There is no way that you will, because what is worship at the end of the day? When we start talking about, and we've covered a lot of this, the worship of the heart, for example, is like what? Fear and hope and loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hating for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. Yes. Huh. And tawakkul, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-inaba, turning to Him in repentance. How can you do that if you don't really know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can you really love Him? Yes, there's a part of your fitrah that automatically is inclined to that. But that revelation is what helps develop it, right? So, if we look at number two, what is the ultimate objective of revelation?
Knowledge.
Knowledge of what?
Knowledge of Allah.
Knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what He requires of us. And so if we look at the purpose of creation, which is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that can't be done except through knowing Him. If the ultimate objective of revelation is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it also indicates the importance of knowing His name subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last question is, how does iman increase? And we've covered this a number of times. Through what?
Knowledge.
What kind of knowledge? Beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. Through beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. The most beneficial of all knowledge is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names. All right, and we're going to cover this as we go. So quickly about the book. So as you can see, this is the book that many of you are familiar with, correct? You've seen this, inshallah, no? Allahu Akbar. See, you gave your age away, Shaykh. I was going to say that for those who've been around for a while, it'll look like this to them. See that over there? Okay. So if you've been around for a while, then you know the green book. But it's the same content. And they both had the same mistake on the cover, which says that the name of the author is Abu Abdurrahman Nasir al-Sa'di. And the author is actually Abdurrahman. His name is Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala. Tayyib, what do we want to know about this book? So the title of the book is what? Can anybody just read it real quick? You can read it off of there. Huh?
Beautiful names.
An explanation to the beautiful and perfect names of Allah. I just want to point out, and we'll cover this in a minute, inshallah. I just want to point out that Sa'di has no book by this name. All right? In the Arabic, this is actually extracted from his tafsir. And so he has a famous tafsir, and it's printed at different places based off of which tafsir you get. So sometimes it's printed in the beginning of the book, sometimes it's printed at the end, and in some of the editions, it's actually at the end of Surah An-Nahl. And that's where the author begins to talk about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're going to talk briefly about the book, and then we'll continue on, because today we definitely need to cover as best as possible, how do we determine what's a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You read the Quran, how do we determine the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So that is going to be our main objective today, because we want to get through some of these technicalities. Then the next 9 weeks, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, will actually, every day that we have class, bi'idhnillah, we're going to cover as many of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as possible. We're not going to go for 99 or 113 or 89 or any particular number. There's a set methodology that will follow, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, and we're going to cover as many names as we can. Tayyip, about the book. Sheikh Mukhtar, can you read that paragraph? That's on page 15, by the way, for those of you who have the book, on page 15. Now.
An
arif.
Therefore.
That's, you don't even need a mic, Sheikh.
Therefore, it is upon the servant to know that there is none worthy of worship besides him. It is upon him to love him simply because he is who he is and due to his perfection.
So here, this is actually a speech of Ibn al-Qayyim translated. And the translator of the book that we're covering, he starts out by talking briefly about the importance of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, he's talking about, or Ibn al-Qayyim is actually talking about why we love Allah. So if you ask many people, why do you love God? What might they say? Yes. For all the things he gave us. That is exactly the answer I was looking for. Zakallah khair. Nah. And that's going to come. And that's what most people would say. But here, and I want you to listen, all right? The first reason why we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is because he is who he is. He is perfect, subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter whether he gave you something or he didn't. There are many things in life that you love that has done nothing for you. And many people in life that you will love that have done nothing for you. But you still love them because of who they are. Because of their qualities. Because of what you deem to be good qualities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. His qualities are perfect, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, he is loved for who he is. And so that's what Ibn al-Qayyim is saying here. You love him simply because he is who he is and due to his perfection. So when we say, why do you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Number one, because he's perfect. And we are inclined to love perfection and appreciate perfection and revere perfection. Now, as you'll see when we study these attributes and we learn about what Allah says about himself, you will love him subhanahu wa ta'ala and all of the other emotions, if you will, that follow. Bidnillah. Now, it is also
upon him to know that in reality there is none who favors one with every type of outward and inward blessing except he, uh-huh, should be him. And therefore he should love him for this as well. And praise him.
Yes. So he loves him for what as well? That there's no one who can give you any outward or anything, any type of blessing, any type of favor that the mun'im, that the one who gives you that ni'mah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does he mean by outward and inward blessings? What's that mean? We don't talk like that in English, so I want to make sure we understand what that means. Yes. So yeah, we're looking more at like tangible and intangible. That's closer to what we would say. So we talk about the tangible blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. Like what?
Things.
Like what?
Children,
mashallah. Uh-huh.
Wealth.
Good health. Well, good health is not really tangible, is it?
A righteous wife.
A righteous spouse. Now, so these are tangible things. What about intangibles? Being content. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hidayah. That Allah azza wa jal guides you to Islam. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we have to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to show our gratitude to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the end of the day, this is what makes us love Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He gives us all of these things. And that increases a person. Even our Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam said what? Tahadu. Tahabbu. Give gifts to one another, you're going to love one another. That endears a person to you, that you give them a gift. Right? SubhanAllah. So we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Hence the servant should love him for both of these matters. I just wanted to point to that because that's part of the beginning of the book, is followed directly by this statement, which gives us an indication of what this book is about. Yes. Fadl Sheikh.
In compliance to the above exhortation, that's a big word, means an invitation. In compliance to the above exhortation, this treatise, that is this note, this essay, has been extracted from the opening words of Sheikh
Abdurrahman bin Nasser. I know it says Nasser al-Sa'di, but it should be Abdurrahman bin Nasser. Yeah.
Nasser al-Sa'di. Yeah. May Allah have mercy upon him. To his tafsir of the Quran, Tafsir al-Karim al-Rahman, in which he succinctly, that means very short, and beautifully explains those names of Allah that occur in the Quran.
Right. So here he mentions that it's at the beginning of his tafsir. There are other editions of the tafsir where it comes at the end. And this tafsir has been translated, or at least a good portion of it has been translated into English, and it's worth the read. Now,
after each explanation, The translator has added some verses of the Quran showing the usage of that of the particular name in question.
All right, so what he's basically saying is that here we have a list of names that the author has extracted from the Quran. Notice that these names have been extracted from the Quran. None of them, or he did not go to names that were only in the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, like Al-Muhsin, okay, and other names. So the reality is that he extracted them from the Quran. It beautifully explains those names of Allah that occur in the Quran. I want you to pay attention. This is very important when you approach any book, that you read the beginning of the book to try to figure out what's the methodology of the author. Here, we don't know the methodology of the author except for these little few words. And then the translator who does what? He's the one that actually adds the ayat. So if you look, as we go through the book on page 35, where the book begins, or 37, something like that, Ar-Rabb and Allah, you're going to see what As-Sa'di says, and then you're going to see some ayat. Those ayat were added by the translator to as proof for the name, which we'll get to inshallah ta'ala. Now, it should also be noted.
It should also be noted that the author, may Allah have mercy upon him, has only mentioned those names that occur in the Quran, and these come to a total of 89 in his view.
Okay. So how many names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has Shaykh Abdul Rahman As-Sa'di mentioned?
89
names. Okay. Why?
Those are the ones that are in the Quran.
Because those, in his view, are the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that come in the Quran. And when we say in his view, what we're going to see through our study is that not all of the names that somebody says is the name of Allah is agreed upon. And so we have to set certain criteria, and that's what we're going to talk about. What criteria are there for us to be able to say this is the name of Allah or it's not a name of Allah, right? Which will come very shortly, inshallah. Yeah.
Additional names mentioned in the Quran have been added from the work of Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimullah. Qawa'id
al-Muthla. Al-Qawa'id al-Muthla.
Muthla, bi sifat Allah wa asma'il Ibn
Right. So Ibn Qayyim has a book called Al-Qawa'id al-Muthla, which has been translated, I don't remember exactly, Exemplary Principles Related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Names and Attributes. He added 14 names that were found in that book. 14 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now the total has come to what? 103. So this book that we have in front of us has 103 names, all right, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or as the author sees, huh? No, it's 89. And then if you go to page 90, let's just do it together right now, inshallah. If you look at page 97, so from 35 to 97 is Sa'di's, the ones that As-Sa'di has mentioned. And you can like put little dog ears in your book or something like that so that you know. Starting on page 99 is where he begins to mention the other 14 names. And that's going to go up until page 105. From page 106 to 112, which is the last page in the book, he's going to mention all 103 names in alphabetical order. And that's what you're also going to see here. This is not alphabetical order. He's going in exact same order that As-Sa'di went through in his book. All right? Tayyib. All right. Bismillah. I think we should probably go through Tayyib Sheikh. You have the book in front of you, right? All right. Before we actually get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and how we determine what the criteria are, I want you to look on page 16. The translator has added five important rules related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names, and they come directly from Sheikh Uthaymeen's book, which is Al-Qawa'id al-Muthla. We're going to cover four of those five. They're very quick and succinct, but they are also very important to get the technicalities, if you will, out of the way, so that when we start, we can refer back. And we can say, do you remember? So let's go with number one. Bismillah. Fadl Sheikh.
All of Allah's names are beautiful and perfect.
Right.
This is because they comprise, that they're made up of perfect descriptions and attributes. Somebody thinks I'm not too loud.
Page 16, yes.
This is because they comprise perfect descriptions and attributes that contain absolutely no defect. They do not even suggest the mere possibility of a deficiency.
All right, so I'm gonna go forward, but we're gonna cover this in a minute. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Allahu yastahzi'u bihim. Allahu yastahzi'u bihim. Anybody want to translate that for me? Allah mocks them. Like, who's them? Allah mocks them. Who? The munafiqun. Yeah. Because that it does come. It comes in the context of the hypocrites. Now, in what sense? I want you to stay with me. In what sense here? Why can we say that? I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that about himself. Allahu yastahzi'u bihim. Why? Because they are doing what? What are the hypocrites doing? They're mocking the believers and the religion. And so, no, in fact, you know how we say jokes on you? Right? So here it's like, no, in fact, you are the ones being mocked. This is perfection because it means that what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew what their plot was. He knew what their scheme was. And they are, in fact, the ones that are being mocked. So this is perfection as it relates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we had to do a lot of explaining there. Is it okay to say that Allah, huwa yastahzi, we can say that he mocks them. Is it okay for us to say that Allah is al-mustahzi?
No.
He is the mocker. No. So here what we have is what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does describe himself in a certain way, but he doesn't give himself the name. Why? Because all of Allah's names are perfect and they're beautiful. They're husna. Walillahi al-asma al-husna, which we'll talk about inshallah ta'ala. So not everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with or that is an attribute of Allah will be a name of Allah. All right? And that's important for us to understand.
So
yeah, Tar?
Why is indefinite and not definite?
No. We'll get to the definite articles. That'll come, inshallah. That'll come. Bidnillah. All right. Fadl Sheikh. Did you read the ayah?
وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَى الْحُسْنَى.
Right.
To Allah belong the most beautiful and perfect names.
All right. So that's the first thing to understand. And again, we'll cover that in just a minute. But we're understanding that all of Allah's names are perfect. All right? Yes. Keep going, Sheikh.
The names of Allah are proper names and descriptions.
Mm-hmm.
They are proper names with respect to their referring to the essence or person of Allah.
Gosh.
And descriptions with respect to the meanings they carry. Allah.
Right. Stop there. So what do we mean when we say proper names? What does that mean? No. Not, it doesn't have anything to do with perfection here. What's a proper noun? What is it? So you're naming an actual person, a place, or a thing. So when we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, that all of his names, their proper names and their descriptions, meaning that they belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, means you can call Allah by that name, but they also comprise of an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you say that Allah is Ar-Rahman, then we can call Allah Ar-Rahman, and we also say that he has the attribute of what? Of Rahmah, of mercy. Right? So in other words, and the reason why this is mentioned from the principles is to distinguish Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his creation. Because many people may be named something, and they, though that is a proper name for them, it is not always a description of that person, right? As we talked about this before, we talked about a person whose name is Kareem, right? Which means what? Generous. But you would never want to go out to dinner with him, because you're always going to pay. And he believes that that's generous because he's giving you the blessings, right? Nah. So here, you may find someone named Sharif, which means what? Noble. But there's nothing noble about them, right? So people carry names, not necessarily the attributes of their names. Whereas with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the opposite is the case. So all of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names are proper names, and they also comprise attributes. Yeah, fadl shaykh. You can skip. Okay. So we're going to skip number three because it's too involved for this discussion, and it'll come up anyway as we go over the names. So go to number four.
The names of Allah can only be known through revelation.
And that makes perfect sense, that the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can only be known through revelation. Why is that? Why do you think that is? Yeah, go ahead, Sayyidullah.
No one knows it better than himself.
No, because no one knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than himself. Tell you what else? Allah azza wa jal is from the unseen. These are affairs of the unseen. We don't sit up there and what did you do? Have a dream and now you have, you know, a new name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do you know the unseen? The only way we know the unseen is what? Through revelation. It's the only thing we know. The hereafter is unseen. How do we know about Jannah and Nar and what's happening? Only way we know is through revelation. So we can't make this stuff up. Right, go ahead, Sheikh. Read.
This is because there is no way of the intellect independently coming to know of them. Allah the Exalted says, I'm not going to try to read that.
Go ahead, just read in English.
Do not pursue what you have no knowledge of. Indeed, the hearing, the sight, and the hearts will all be questioned.
In other words, don't say what you don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't say what you don't know. And you don't know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala other than what he has told you about himself. So everything that we want to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of his names and attributes is either in the Quran or it's in the other source of revelation, which is the sunnah of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wa salam. Now, last principle, and then we call it a day, inshallah, and I'll continue.
The names of Allah are not limited to a particular number.
Okay, so how many of you would agree with me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names? Nobody?
At least.
See, come on, man. You're ruining it. Nah. Okay, so we agree. Allah has 99 names. How many of you would say that Allah only has 99 names? There we go. Ah, okay. Yeah. So a lot of times people have this misconception that Allah is with. So if you find a book, and there are a number of them, where maybe it mentions 109 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not necessarily incorrect, all right? So the idea is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names are not limited to a particular number. However, and the author does not mention this, we'll call it then, inshallah, and then I'll continue. Bismillah. Yeah, so let somebody call it then, please.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
طيب. Many of you have heard the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام where he says إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ إِسْمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names. مِئَة إِلَّا وَاحِدَة. He has 100 except for one. Right? 100 except for one. He has 99 names. مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever ahsaha. Now, a lot of times it's translated as whoever memorizes them enters Jannah. But al-ihsa means not just to memorize them. It means that he memorizes them. He knows their meanings and acts accordingly. All right? Whoever knows these names and acts according to them, he will enter paradise. Play. That hadith, because of that hadith, many people believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names are limited to 99 names. But that's a misunderstanding of the hadith. And so I'll give you an example. If I said I have $99, whoever finds it can keep half. You understand that much? Does that mean that I only have $99? So what was the benefit of mentioning 99 here? Huh? It means that the latter part of what I talked about, which is you can have half, is related to the first part. Whoever finds that money, whoever finds that 99 can keep half of it. All right? So similarly here, the Prophet ﷺ is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names, that if one is to know them and act according to those 99, then he will enter paradise. It's also important to note that there are other variations of that hadith, and that they mention the 99 names all together at the end of the hadith. You ever seen that? Like in Jami' al-Tirmidhi, for example, they mention a lot of other books. None of those narrations are authentic. The ones that mention the 99 names, attributing them to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, is nowhere where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah has 99 names and then mentioned those names where it's authentic. There are some scholars who believe that it's authentic, and we'll talk about that in a second, inshallah ta'ala. Tayyib, Father Sheikh, finish that point.
This is due to the authentic hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, reported by Ahmed rahimahullah and others, in which the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, I ask you by every one of your names with which you have named yourself, or which you have revealed in your book.
Tayyib, before you finish that dua, does anybody know what this dua is for? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught this dua to some of his companions. For what purpose? Yeah. That's part of the dua. Yeah. Forgiveness. Who said that? Yes. It's for grief and anxiety. Grief and anxiety. And ikhwan, brothers and sisters, we all go through periods where we may suffer from anxiety about something, or where we may grieve about something. This dua is imperative that you take the time to memorize and incorporate, because it's a beautiful dua. It's a beautiful dua. In it, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allahumma inni abduk, right? So we just go through the dua very quickly. Allahumma inni abduk. Oh Allah, I am your slave. Look, at the end of the day, what happens when you're facing, what is anxiety, by the way? What does that mean? When you're anxious, it's about something that happened already, or something that's going on, that you think could happen? Something that you fear might happen, or you're a little nervous about what's going to happen, right? And so you recognize in that moment that you are a slave of Allah. That this thing is in Allah's hands.
and you are his slave. He's your master, and he's in control. Allahumma inni abduk. Remind yourself of that right away. Ibn abdik. Ibn amatik. I am the son of your slave, your male slave. The son of your female slave. Now siyati biyadik. My forelock is in your hand. Maldin fiyya hukmuk. Your hukum, your decree has already been determined for me. As'aluka adlun fiyya qada'uk. And whatever you decree for me is just. So here is decree. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees for you, even if there's some bitterness in that decree, it's still just. Whatever Allah gives you is just. But you know that you're the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that your daddy is a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that your mommy is too. And it's going to be okay. Bi-idhnillah. And then you say, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi kulli ismin huwa lak. Oh Allah, I ask you by every name that is yours. By every name that is yours. Sammayta bihi nafsak. That you have named yourself. Because nobody else can name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if anybody else gives Allah a name that he didn't give to himself, then it's not a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sammayta bihi nafsak. O anzaltahu fi kitabik. Or you have revealed it in your book. Huh. What's the next thing that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says? Oh, علمته أحدا من خلقك. Or you have taught it to one of your slaves. Huh. What's the difference between that one and that one? أنزلته في كتابك أو علمته أحدا من خلقك. Come on, y'all. Allahu Akbar. خلاص. I didn't hear what you said, but I heard what he said. One's in the Quran and one's in the Sunnah. أنزلته في كتابك means it's been revealed in the Quran. Or you taught it to one of your slaves. Well, who does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach directly? Angels and prophets. That's it. And so here, or you've taught it to one of your servants, so it's been preserved in the Sunnah, which is the evidence that there are some names that come in the Sunnah that are not found in the Quran. وَعَلَمْتُ أَحَدٍ مِنْ خَلْقِكَ أَوْ اسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدَكَ. Or you have kept it, you have preferred to keep it to yourself in the knowledge of the unseen. Meaning that there are names that belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has not revealed to His creation. He has not revealed to His creation. But they are still His names. And so we may know 99 names or 119 names or 150. But we're never going to know all of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're never going to know all of His perfection. Because it's too much for us to encompass. So that is the proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names are, as he says here, not limited to a particular number. Tayyib ikhwan, we're going to go through this pretty quickly, inshallah ta'ala, because I know we have to get ready for Salatul Isha. Alright, we have here determining Allah's names. What is the definition of Allah's beautiful names? وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. All right. So to Allah belongs the most husna names. And so fad'uhu biha, call upon him through those names, worship him through those names, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just want to take a quick note on beautiful, because that was what the word that we chose for this particular class, Allah's beautiful names, right? I do take a little issue with that. And so for you brothers that is and sisters that are studying Arabic, what is al-husna? Let's start with the word hasan. What does hasan mean? Something that is good. Okay. Now, if you do what is known as, they call it the ism tafdil, which before the superlative, what do you have? I'm not an English major. The comparative. Okay. So this one is ahsan. What does that mean? It's better. Al-ahsan is what? The best. But that's masculine. Al-ahsan, which is the best, is masculine. The feminine version is al-husna. Al-husna. So Allah has the best names. He has the most, he has perfect names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names are, and so beautiful doesn't really capture al-husna. All right? What we're saying is that وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ to Allah belong the best names. And what that indicates is that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being described with in that name, that He has reached the pinnacle of perfection of that particular quality. Whether it is mercy, whether it is shukr, so His appreciation, whether it is ghufran, meaning that His forgiveness, that all of that has reached the pinnacle of perfection. And so that's what it means when we say al-husna, al-husna. They are the names. They are those names. So when we say, what are the definition of Allah's perfect names? There are three things that we look at. And this is the definition of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, they are those names, number one, by which Allah is beseeched and worshipped. Where do we get that from? It's all in the ayah, by the way. To Allah belong the best names, so fadu'uhu biha. What is dua? Right, dua is two types. To call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beseeching Him, and it is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the first part. They are those names, number one, by which Allah is beseeched and worshipped. Number two, which are mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. Why is that? Why can't we find names that are not mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah? Huh? Because it's outside of revelation. If it's not in the Quran and Sunnah, it's not in revelation. There's no qiyas for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names. All right? And the third thing, and they have to have all three of these qualities, and engender praise and honor independent of external factors. That is, that this name is perfect by itself. That this name is perfect by itself without context. So if you look at before, why don't we say that Allah is the mocker? Even though He says that He mocks who? The believers? No, the hypocrites. The hypocrites. So that needs something else for us to understand the perfection of it. And that's why it doesn't stand alone as a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it doesn't engender praise and honor independent of external factors. We need context, which is an external factor, as opposed to He is the creator, Al-Khaliq. Does that need something else? Does that need context? He is Al-Alim, the one who is knowledgeable of everything. Does that need context? He is As-Sami', the one who hears everything. Does that need context? No. It doesn't need context. And so, and it's found in the Quran and the Sunnah, and we can call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that name and worship Him by those names. So that's a ism from the Asma al-Husna. That's a name from the perfect names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understood? Like, if not, we're going to go over it again and again, you know, inshallah. Okay, so here we have a chart. What does it say at the top of the chart? Well, it's not a chart, actually. This is circles, huh? Description. And inside of that, we have an attribute. And then we have name. So what is important here is to understand, distinguish the name from what might resemble the name. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the smallest, the least of all of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with. Meaning that, I think with examples it'll become clear, inshallah ta'ala. Tayyip, we just mentioned, who memorized Surah At-Tariq here? Anybody? Okay. Innahum yakiduna kayda. Okay, what's that mean? Innahum yakiduna kayda. Indeed, they are what? Plotting. They are plotting a plot. We don't really speak like that, but we'll leave it like that for now. They are plotting a plot. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? Wa akidu kayda. And I am also plotting. Okay. Can we call, so what is this here? What would we say that is? A description, an attribute, or what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing what he does. Okay. So, okay, that's fine. That's a description. What we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the plotter?
No.
Okay. Could we say, because you know this is where people get this from, could we say that Allah is the best of planners? Yes, no, maybe so. Is that a name of Allah?
No.
So it's not a name of Allah to say that he is the best of planners. And if, what do you mean by saying that Allah is the best of planners? What do you mean by that? So most people don't use it that way. Most people use it in a sense that they were intending to do something, but Allah decreed for them something else. And so they say, I wanted to do A, B, C, and D, but Allah is the best of planners. In this sense, we are doing what? We're describing Allah as being the one who has decreed for me what was better for me. And that's fine if you use it in that context. The problem is most people are actually taking it from that concept of plotting. And that's not what it's not what it means. That's not what that ayah means. Alright? Tell you. But the point is here that we have what? Descriptions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. What's that mean? وَيَمْكُرُ الْمَكِرُ. What's that? That's that plan that has some, it's like a scheme, right, scheming. Yamkurun, they're scheming. وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ, but Allah schemes. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ, and he is the best of those who scheme. Now, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with that quality. But again, you're not going to call Allah al-makir. You're not going to call him the schemer. Waliyadu billah. God forbid. Now, it's not something we're going to describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with, because he didn't give himself that name. And that's not a perfect name. That's not min al-asma al-husna. It's not from the best names. So what we have to see is that there may be an attribute that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that Allah Azza wa Jalla has. That does not necessarily translate into a name. And so, for those of you who know a little bit about Arabic, what the scholars say here is that Babul Asma Akhassul Abwa. That the when we talk about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this subject is the most specific of all of the subjects related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and attributes. وَبَابُ الْأَخْبَارِ أَوْسَعَ الْأَبْوَابِ. And that when we talk about how to describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is, there's a lot of leeway there, as long as it doesn't carry a negative meaning. So we can say, for example, we say, you hear people say it all the time, Allahu al-musta'an. Allah al-musta'an. What's that mean? He is the one in whom aid is sought. Is al-musta'an from the names of Allah? No, it's not from the names of Allah. But we're describing that he is the one from whom we seek al-aun or aid. So we're describing him. But the names, no, that's a smaller section. All right? Okay. Quickly, we'll go through this, determining Allah's names. There's four basic approaches. All right? I'm not going to read it. The first one is those scholars who strictly rely on that weak hadith that I talked to you about. All right? So they say Allah has 99 names. Here they are. Here's the hadith. We're done. All right. There's a second approach, and that is only the approach of Ibn Hazm rahimahullah ta'ala. Nobody else took this approach when it came to the names of Allah. And that is, he restricts Allah's names only to that which has the proper form of a name or an ism in the Arabic language. Not one that has been derived from a verb, nor one that is mudaf. So I'll give you an example. When we say mudaf, I don't know how to talk about this stuff in English, but I'll give you an example. Allah says in the Quran, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. Allah didn't say he is an-nur. He said he's what? the light of the heavens and the earth. Allah says, Maliki Yawmiddin. He is the what? The owner of, or Maliki Yawmiddin, the king of the day of judgment. Right? Now, there are other ayat, obviously, where he says, Al-Malikul Quddus, right? So, that's different. But, Badi'u Samawati Wal Ard. Have you ever heard anybody's name, Abdul Badi'? Huh? Yeah, there is. Because Al-Badi', according to most of the scholars, is the name of Allah. But Allah, Azza wa Jal, never called himself Al-Badi' in the Quran. It comes Badi' As-Samawati Wal-Ard. So, in other words, Ibn Hazm doesn't accept any of those. He restricts it only to that which comes in the form of an ism, which inshallah, as we go on, will become clear. You're going to come back and you're going to say, I didn't understand that stuff, but when I went back and I looked now, I get it all. All right, number three. And that's fine, you know, knowledge is like that. Knowledge is like anything else. The first time you do it, a lot of times you don't get it, right? So you have to do it again, and you do it again, like any trade that you do, or anything for that matter. Type. The third is those who are lenient in determining Allah's names, such that they derive a name from each of Allah's attributes and actions. They will say that from Allah's names is Al-Mustahzi, Al-Makir, you know, all of the things we just said, no, we can't name Allah that. They'll say yes, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described himself with this, and so therefore, because he described himself with that, we can give him a name from that, and that's incorrect. Type. Then the last, and this is the, this is the part we're going to follow, or these are the scholars that we'll be following, inshallah. Scholars who chose a moderate course between the two previous approaches. And they made certain stipulations, as indicated by proofs from the Quran and Sunnah, for deriving a name from an attribute. So not every attribute will we derive a name from of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from, but some of them we will. And again, this will become clear as we go forward, inshallah. So I want you right now, together, we're going to do this exercise. Identify the names of Allah. What surah is this? Surah Al-Ikhlas. Okay. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Is that from Surah Ikhlas or no? No. So where does Surah Ikhlas start? Qul huwallahu ahad. Tayyib. What names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do you see there in the first verse? Allah and? Ahad. Ahad, is that a name of Allah? Or Al-Ahad? Al-Ahad. Does that say Al-Ahad? No. So how did you get the name of Allah? Is the name of Allah Ahad or Al-Ahad? Al-Ahad. No. But that doesn't say Al-Ahad.
That's because Allah's name is before it.
Qul huwa Ahad. If you took Allah away, you said Qul huwa Ahadun. That's correct. I mean, it's not the Quran, but I'm saying it's correct in terms of a name. Not all of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are going to come with an aleph and lamb in front. However, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that name, or you put abd in front of it, you're going to add the aleph and the lamb, because he is the only one that is described like that. So he is Al-Ahad subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next one. Allahu Samad. Allahu Samad. What names do you see there? Allah and? As-Samad. As-Samad. Okay. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Any names there? No. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Any names there? Huh? La, 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 la. No. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There's nobody, huh? That is equal to him. Yeah, that's not a name. Here, this ahad is not a name of Allah. Here, this ahad is not a name of Allah. All right, so what I want you to do very quickly, take 30 seconds with your partner, identify the names of Allah in Surah Al-Fatiha. With your partner, Bismillah. Father. You're not talking loud enough. Doctor, harrik shafatik. All right, 30 seconds is up, believe it or not. Well, I gave you a fair shot. All right, so let's... Okay, so let's start. First ayah, what are the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you see? All right, so I'm gonna go against the grain here. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, even Surah Al-Fatiha is not from the ayat. But we'll go with the way it's written here. So Allah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, what they're gonna come again. All right, so for second ayah, according to the way it's numbered here, Alhamdulillahi. Huh? Alhamd is the name of Allah? Abdulhamd? Don't name your son Abdulhamd. Alhamd is not the name of Allah. Huh? Allah is the name of Allah. Play it. Okay, here again, for those of you who study a little bit of Arabic, we have mudaf and mudaf ilay here. Rabbil alameen. Ibn Hazm is going to say here, Rabb is not the name of Allah because it's mudaf. In this sense. But that I'm not saying he says that it's not the name of Allah, but because it comes in other forms. Rabbil Alameen. So Ar-Rabb is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, and then we have Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and then we have what? Maliki Yawmiddin or Malik Yawmiddin. Al-Malik is the name of Allah. Al-Malik is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yaka na'budu wa yaka nasta'in, and that's the end of it. Very quickly, inshallah, our method of study, and we're going to close out now so we can pray, inshallah ta'ala. Our method of study will be as follows, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, for each name. We're going to cover the following 6 points. This is critical. I want you to understand it because starting from next week, we're going to go straight in. We're going to refer back to things that we covered today so that you'll get a good sense, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, of what we were talking about. All right. So the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to identify the name. In other words, Allah's name, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rab, Allah, Al-Ilah, to the end of it. What's the name? The second thing. Rashid.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. You need a toothpick today, Sheikh? Or you good? Right. Number two, the evidence for that name. The evidence for that name. So anytime you say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is such and such, we need to have evidence for that from the Quran and from the Sunnah. It needs to be very clear because we only know names through revelation. Number three, we're going to mention some of the scholars who have affirmed that name. So we have early books that have they've done a considerate job of gathering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. There's a book by Al-Khattabi, there's another book by Ibn Mandah, there's another book by Al-Qurtubi to the end of it, and we'll cover some contemporary scholars as well. Then we'll get into number four, some of its meanings. And this is going to be critical. What does this name mean from a linguistic perspective primarily, but also some of the meanings that it carries in the text? Number five, the importance of knowing this name and some of the benefits for belief and practice of knowing this name. And number five is where we're going to concentrate. Because for each one of these names, there is a specific form of ibadah that is related to that name. And so when we learn these names, we're going to learn how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through those names, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. The sixth is going to be what I'm calling subtleties, because I couldn't think of another name for them. But we're going to be looking at some of the more the subtle aspects of this name. For example, this name may come in conjunction with other names in the Quran. Why is that? Let's look at, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ. Look down here at the bottom. لِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. So in the first ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who recite the book of Allah and establish the prayer, and they give from that which we have provided them openly and in secret, they are hoping for business that will always be profitable. Because if you do business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's always profitable. When you do a good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies that at least 10 times. And any business that you know of, they're not looking for 10 times. They're looking for 10% is like great. Double-digit return on investment? That's an investment worth making. No, this is not double digits. This is 10 times over. Quadruple digits. All right? Up to 700 times. يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَنْ تَبُورَ. They want to do business that will never be unprofitable. It will always be profitable. لِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ. That he may pay them back fully their rewards. وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِ. So not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the reward for what they've done, but he increases them min fadli, because he's gracious, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's not just going to give them their due, he's going to give them even more. Indeed, innahu ghafurun shakur. Surely he is forgiving and appreciative. So here we have two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are they? Ghafur and shakur. Okay, now, Shakur, this name, which we've translated as appreciative, what is the relationship with appreciative here? It's pretty clear, right? Because the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates your deeds, he rewards you for them. But that name comes in the Quran four times. Three times the name Shakur comes in the Quran. We'll talk about this with the majority of the names, inshallah. We'll talk about how many times it comes in the Quran to the end of it. The name Shakur comes in the Quran four times. Three times it's Ghafurun Shakur. Three times when it comes in the Quran. What is the relationship between Ghafur and Shakur? Wow. Naam, Idris.
From his appreciation is that he forgives your sin.
So from his appreciation of you striving to please him, he forgives you your sins. That's good. That's good. Anybody else?
No, in order for you to get the amount of shukr that he wants to give you, you first must be forgiven for that which you have done.
Okay, so in order for you to even attain that appreciation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you first need to be forgiven for your what? For your deficiencies and your bad deeds type. Anybody else? No, those are good points. Sheikh Abdul Basit? So when a person seeks forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is appreciative of that. Right. Okay. Here's another way to look at this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Innahu ghafurun shakur. He is shakur because of what? Your good deeds. One of the best deeds that you can do, in fact, after the shahadatain, the best deed that you can do is what? Salat. Your fard salat. What do you say immediately after you finish your fard salat? Astaghfirullah. 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 Why do you say astaghfirullah? Yeah. Because even in those good deeds that you're doing, there's deficiency. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoor. He forgives even those deficiencies that are part of the good that you're doing. So he's ghafoorun shakur. All right? These are the things, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, that we're going to study. These are under the subject of subtleties. That'll be the last part that we get to in each of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we cover. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his tawfiq. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in beneficial knowledge and in righteous actions. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika.